snow had drifted against the side of the house, nearly obliterating the sledge Peter had dragged up to the door. White peaks crowned the surrounding roofs and reared against the neighboring buildings like a frozen sea, spangling timbers and frosting shutters. I started bundling the heavy, snow-caked blankets into my hands, wondering how long our guests were planning to stay. It looked like a long time, when Peter stopped me. "Not those," he grumbled. "This." With a flourish, he ripped off the remaining covers to reveal a monstrous chest buried beneath the mound of blankets. I stared at it, appalled. The casket seemed to suck the very night into it. It was laden with shadow. A chill wind whipped the loose snow round my legs, and I hugged myself to keep warm. "Here, take that end," Peter bossed me, evidently in a hurry to return to the fireside, "and be careful not to drop it." I took the iron handle in both hands and attempted to lift it. It was extremely heavy. Fortunately, Peter bore the brunt of the weight in his strong arms, and slowly, stopping every few steps, we managed to heave the chest into the house. The icy metal bit into my skin. As we climbed the stairs, the light from the workshop began to pick out shapes from the sides of the box. Lumpy knobs revealed themselves as hideous beasts I'd never seen before. Scaly monsters and frightening demons leered at me as if from the pits of hell. They had scabby cheeks and savage teeth and eyes like burnt umber. But it was only once we re-entered the room, half kicking and half sliding the chest across the floor, that I noticed the two snakes coiled tightly round the lid, their heads interlocked. Peter eyed them with obvious distrust, but I was fascinated. They seemed to draw me towards them. "I wouldn't touch those if I were you," Fürst advised me suddenly, catching my hands straying closer to the snakes. "They just might bite." My hands whipped back to my sides. Something about the way he said this made me believe him. Perhaps they were venomous. Fürst was regarding me down the length of his nose, his dark eyes glinting. Obediently, I backed away. Fürst turned his attention to my master, who was staring at the fire as though the future were held in its flames. He seemed to have aged in the interval.
"So, Gutenberg, what do you say?"
There was a heap of gold and silver next to the discarded lens on the table, more gulden than I had seen since the start of the year.
"I fear," said my master slowly, "I shall have to sleep on it." "Pish! You know you cannot resist."
Yes, but what you propose is..."
My master paused, unable to come up with an appropriate word.
"Perfectly reasonable," suggested Fürst. "Preposterous," retorted my master. Fürst spat with scorn. "Johann, you know not what you are saying. With your machine and my cunning, we can achieve everything. There will be no end to our wealth or influence."
"Yes, but at what cost?" asked my master warily, rubbing his eyes and smearing a daub of ink across his face. "It is not exactly the kind of influence I was hoping for. I will have none of it."
"Come, where is the merciless desire that once fired your spirit?"